you. Sorry about that. There's a reason. Yeah, sorry, Tom. Go ahead. Please resume.
No problem. Well, I'm going to just, for the sake of the recording, begin again.
Okay, fine.
That prior to prior to 9/11, it seems that the World Trade Center, according to what I've been able to understand, the World Trade Center had been getting permits to continue to operate, even though asbestos was used in the construction of the building. It was during the late 60s, early 70s that the laws that asbestos was discovered to cause mesothelioma, which is a form of cancer. And it became, it was then outlawed in construction of buildings that would be used for public use. And the World Trade Center was already partially built when those laws came into effect. The construction continued, and for many years the World Trade Center was able to get buys from the EPA to allow it to continue, whereas many other buildings had to be had to have their asbestos removed, which was a very expensive operation. The estimate for the World Trade Center, according to what I recall from I think it was Confronting the Evidence video way back in that was done on 9/11/04. Was estimated at something like $1 billion, and the Trade Center was already bleeding money. It was running in the red. So from the late 80s on through to 2001, the World Trade Center had been, the Port Authority, who controlled the World Trade Center, had been attempting to get permits to bring down the World Trade Center through either controlled demolition or stick by stick or however was necessary to avoid having to do the asbestos removal and also to make a more modern building that conformed to basically the new technologies that, like fax machines and email, that developed after the World Trade Center was built. And there were apparently many attempts made. I think the number I've been told was 6 attempts made where engineering firms developed permit applications that they gave to the building code and permit department in Manhattan, in requesting a permit to bring the World Trade Centers down by some form of controlled demolition. All of these permit requests were, according to the information I have, were denied. Now, the only hard information I have is I know personally a photographer that worked in 1988 and I think early 1989 for an engineering group photographing structural components of the World Trade Center for a permit application that would then be supplied to the permit department, the building codes department, to get a permit to bring the towers down. I feel that these permit applications would have been like amazing requests. In other words, everybody from the janitor to the president of the permitting, the building code and building permit department would know about it, you know, within an hour of the permit request arrival at the department. There were several made. I'm sure that the records have been, I'm not certain, but probably the records have been scrubbed. But the people that worked in those departments are still alive and will remember, wow, they want to take the Twin Towers down, would be their reaction. So those people exist, and it would be, I think, incredibly helpful to the cause of 9/11 truth if we had, like we have the reports from the firemen in the New York City Fire Department, people in their audio histories talking about explosions that report, or from the people that worked in the permitting department talking about those permit applications, would be extremely helpful to us in convincing the general public, who is we have to convince that 9/11, that the official story of 9/11 is a lie. That if the general public knew that the Port Authority was trying to get a permit to bring the towers down, and then seeing the towers coming down in what looked like a controlled, some form of controlled demolition, there would be an immediate line between the dots drawn, and we would we could very possibly and very probably increase our what semblance of honesty and veracity in the eyes of those we're trying to talk to, if we had that information. So I'm working through Richard Gage, and I'm working through David Ray Griffin. I'm leaning hard on those guys, if I can, to work toward either verifying or debunking this idea. And I've tried to work with the people in New York City that I know. I live in Arkansas and get to New York only on 9/11 truth business, which usually coincidentally is on 9/11 of whatever year it happens to be. But I think it's extremely important, and would appreciate any comments or ideas anyone has on furthering this cause.
Before we continue, Don Mazzarelli, are you still on the call?
Yes.
Good. Don, it will be your task to forward the proclamation and your contact information to Craig so that he can put that in the minutes. And then, Tom, if you will do the same, forward your contact information to Craig so that he, however you want people to contact you with comments about your project, okay?
Give me his email address.
Yeah, that's good. Now, Craig, what's your email address?
It's C-R-A-I-G, and then McKee, M-C-K-E-E.
Wait, Key. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Key.
What do you mean?
It's McKee.
Okay.
M-C-K-E-E.
Yeah, I remember you from years ago. Yeah, go ahead.
45.
Okay.
At yahoo.ca.
So Craig McKee, 45 at yahoo.
.com, isn't it?
No, it's CA is the Canadian equivalent.
Oh, you're in Canada. Okay, yahoo.ca.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
I think I sent you some DVDs years and years ago. I'm not sure, but probably did. But anyway.
Okay, Craig, I got it. Okay, I'll send you that information. You need the, go ahead. I'll cover everything on that. Thanks. Okay.
Okay. Would anybody like to comment on Tom's presentation about the permits?
I would.
I think it's a great idea. Oh, go ahead.
Jeffrey?
I'm an architect in New York, and I've looked into demolition applications. First of all, the New York City Department of Buildings does not permit any explosions in New York City, so there's no controlled demolition permits even considered. That's it. If a building, if an owner wants to take down a building, they do have to apply for a permit, for a scaffolding, and so on and so forth. I don't think that there was any demolition permits, controlled demolition permits, or investigation of one for the World Trade Center. It would never, ever happen in New York City. You can't even have a tank of propane there transported.
Okay, this is Tom Tweeden again. The reason that I'm focusing on this is I happen to know a fellow that was a photographer that worked for an engineering firm in New York City.
I read that. I'm an architect. I've been an architect for 40 years in New York City.
Talking about controlled demolition. He was talking about developing the bridge work over the pedestrian walkways and West Side Freeway or whatever that street
is. West Side Highway, but it's not a highway, it's a road.
Okay, the West Side Road Highway. Yeah. They were trying to build sort of a bridge work over there so that the stick-by-stick demolition of the buildings would not endanger pedestrian or auto traffic. That was what he was working on.
Well, that's possible. I mean, you know, in order to take down a building, you have to put up scaffolding and all sorts of barriers to protect pedestrians and traffic. But there's no reason why, if there was such a permit to that effect, that they would have scrubbed it. I doubt it existed.
This is James Hufford, and I would tend to believe that the owners, the originators, the drivers behind the World Trade Center could probably get anything approved that they'd wanted to, and as an exception. Now, I may be wrong, but I wouldn't preclude it.
James, the Port Authority was exempt from New York City building codes, but that doesn't mean that they could do anything that they wanted to do.
No, but I would check it.
They had to get waivers. They had to get waivers from the Department of Buildings, and they got them.
Okay.
Well, okay, I know a person that worked on the project, and if he worked on it, so did lots and lots of other people.
Yeah. I worked on the project.
Worrying about how to bring down the Twin Towers.
No, I worked for the architects that did the drawings for the World Trade Center in 1970.
We're talking about the demolition or the bringing down of the stick-by-stick destruction of, kind of like Deutsche Bank can't be imploded now for the reasons you've said, so they're having to bring it down stick-by-stick because it's an unstable structure.
No building can be exploded in New York City. None. That's it.
Okay.
Everything has to come down. If there's a permit, if there was an application to the Department of Buildings to take a building down, it's there. The paperwork is there. Why would they scrub it?
Well, I can understand why they'd scrub it, but if it's there, you're there in New York City, somebody there could check for it. Anybody
can check for buildings. You go to it's online. The entire building department file is online for every single building in New York City, every historical building. You go to the Building Information System, BIS. New York City Department of Buildings, BIS. You can look up every building. Building application, every building permit, every work order, stop work order, violation, and so forth, for any building, any time.
Jeff, as a suggestion, Tom Cerulean, since you're familiar with it, suggestion would be for you to do this and communicate with Tom on it.
I did it. I looked for the...
Communicate with Tom on this.
Okay,
actually make the calls and communicate with Tom. That will settle it so we can go on.
Okay, fine.
Is that all right?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you have my contact information?
I think you're on a listserv, right?
Well, I'm not, I will be, right?
You can be if you request it, Tom. Anybody who's on the call can request to be on the listserv.
I'm on the listserv.
I'll put you on, and I know that Don has asked to be on as well, so the both of you will be put on. Anybody else who is on the call who would like to be on the listserv, if you want to mention that now, if you're not on the listserv, we can put you on there. Okay. All right, so are we finished with this item for now then?
Robin on the stack.
Robin, go ahead.
Yeah, all I want to say is this is a really worthy discussion about the early designs or plans of dealing with how to destroy these buildings which took place before they were actually designed and built. So any element, I nothing but applause. Thank you very much. Keep doing it. Keep everybody's minds open. This is really, really, really good information. So, yay.
Okay,
thank you,
that's a good place to close that one on. Okay. And again, anything can be brought up again in the general discussion if we have time at the end. Okay, now we're back with Don Cerulean on a mandated 9/11 education in New Jersey.
Right. About 5 years ago, the town I live in, the widow of one of the workers in Fitzpatrick, what was the name of it? The big investment firm, something Fitzpatrick. Anyway, he lost his life.
Fitzgerald.
He lost his life in it, and she was very influential, and for 5 years working to get the state of New Jersey to mandate teaching of 9/11 and the lessons from it to students from kindergarten on through 12th grade. Now, I want to read to you what's in the curriculum for, I'll start with the middle school. I'll just read this. The middle school modules are terrorism and commission that states the 9/11 commission said, if we don't put in better prevention, unless we change our habits, we'll have that second terrorist attack. Let's hope the country listens. End of quote. This module will reinforce the national state of fear and will continue the lie about foreign terrorists by ignoring the real terrorists who planned and executed 9/11 and have been able to lie about it for 10 years. The third module, The Boss, uses Bruce Springsteen's The Rising to analyze the album's lyrics related to 9/11 and its victims. The second middle school module should include the indisputable evidence in the 9/11 Truth Proclamation in order that students can think for themselves after reading and discussing both sides of this critical issue. The purpose of education should be to teach students to think for themselves and make decisions based on factual, not fictitious evidence. The high school modules are why. What attracts people to terrorism? Interviews. Students will interview 9/11 survivors, firemen, police, EMTs, rescue dog handlers, etc. Hopefully they will interview, this is my own comment, they will interview William Rodriguez, a hero and survivor who stated that explosives caused the collapse of the Twin Towers.
He didn't say that. He's on record as not
his.
He did not say that.
He said he heard explosions. I stand corrected, and I will correct that. What he stated was that he heard explosions both before the planes hit and when the planes hit.
He heard an explosion after the planes hit. Don, he stated on this call he heard an explosion and then he heard the plane strike. That's what he stated.
That's what I said. Right. So I'm saying he heard two sounds, all right? But I will correct it because you're correct. I accept that, all right? So I'll revise that to say William Rodriguez, a hero and survivor, who stated that he heard explosions both
an explosion
before the planes hit and the plane impact. He heard both of the Twin Towers. His testimony was taken secretly by the 9/11 Commission and omitted from the final report. His testimony can be found on page 10 of the unbiased, truthful report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11. Third module, media, where students will discuss the role mass media has played in shaping public and governmental response to acts of global terrorism. End of quote. The mass media has supported our government liars. The underground truthful newspapers such as The Sovereign, Rock Creek Free Press, etc., are the only media where citizens can learn the truth on any subject, including 9/11. Then I say, will the New Jersey teachers tell their students the 9/11 truth? All readers of The Sovereign should forward this article to their school boards and school superintendents and meet with them personally to ensure that students learn the truth. Now, I have contacted both the principal of my local middle school and high school, and they in turn, I've asked them to just look at the proclamation while they're on the phone, and they've done that, and they've agreed to pass this on to their history teachers and to get back to me on this. And since they're going to be interviewing people in the classroom, I'd offered to go to the classroom and tell them the truth of what happened on 9/11. So what I'm saying is that this is not only happening in New Jersey. Other states have picked up on this, and I'm asking if people on this call could check with their states and see if this program is in fact there. And if it is, I would like to make a motion that we set up a committee to coordinate this thing so we can all work together to get 9/11 truth to the students in classes. So that's my motion now.
Well, that's a conditional motion, though, since we don't know whether or not it is in other states yet. We have to find that out before we can proceed.
Well, I do know it's in other states. I know that already. What I'm asking is that people will check with their own states. But I already know it's in other states, Ken.
Okay. And how would people find this out, Doc? Well, how in their state would they find this out?
What I'll do is whoever on the call, what I'd like to do is make a motion first that this be a subject whereby we can set up a separate committee to look into this and to coordinate disseminating this information to other states and to utilize it in the states where they already have this program. So the first thing would be to find out which states have copied New Jersey and have this program. I believe California and Arizona have. I'm not certain, but I believe they have, and I think Texas has another one.
Well, let's simplify this, too. You're making a motion to form a committee to investigate whether these programs exist in other states and then to pursue action accordingly.
All right.
Would anybody like to second the motion?
I think that, you know, this is Tom Sweden, Arkansas. 9/11 Truth is a grassroots movement, and that we should all be, everyone on this call is an expert in 9/11 Truth. We have been dedicated, risked our lives for 9/11 Truth for many years and dedicated our time and efforts to 9/11 Truth, and many of us our financial ability. And each of us should just independently be willing to be on a speaker's bureau or to work in any way we can to spread 9/11 truth, especially in the school system. And I'm not trying to in any way sabotage Don's motion. I'll second the idea and vote for it, but each of us live in a different locale. You know, I have three kids in a public school system. I've got eight kids, three in a public school system. One will be homeschooled next year. The three now want to be in public school, so they're in public school. But that's absolutely neither here nor there. But each of us should really consider the opportunity that we have to speak before any group we can speak before, especially young people, concerning 9/11 truth. And besides,
all right, so
Don,
this is just you say you are going to second it, right? You're going to second the motion.
I seconded his motion. Yeah.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to form a committee to investigate whether this program exists in other states, this educational program, and act accordingly.
Anybody like to speak to the motion?
Robin on the stack.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, Rob.
Anybody on this call who works the streets on a routine basis, still active, handing out information between one and three times, between 1 and 5 times per week, would you identify yourself?
Tom Tweeden.
Okay, Tom, great. Anybody else?
I don't understand what we're talking about, frankly. This is, we have a motion and we have a second.
Yeah.
And now we're having a discussion on the motion.
Yeah, you're going to have to make clear why that's relevant to this motion, Tom.
But I don't see what has anything to do with the motion or what I'm talking about.
This I'm on a call, international call, 9/11 through conference call.
Okay.
Robin, can you explain the relevance of what you're saying to this motion? Because it's not clear to everybody why this is relevant.
I just really asked a very simple question. I got one answer, and that Tom is out in the streets every day.
Okay,
that's what I asked, and I got an answer. Nobody else on this phone call is out in the streets dealing with the people who are out there.
What do you mean by out on the streets, Robin?
What I'm saying is, in public places, handing out information, doing stuff.
Don, no. Uh-uh, he's got the floor. You got to let him finish.
I'm not carrying
a
placard or anything.
This is Robin's turn to speak, Don.
I understand, but I'm not clear on what he's talking about. That's what I'm...
All right, he's asking how many people are out in the street several times a week on this issue, okay? And Tom was the only one...
I am, too.
You are, okay, so that's two.
Absolutely.
Absolutely out there, yes.
Okay, so that's
so what does that have to do with the motion?
Why don't you listen?
I am, but I don't see what it has to do with the motion.
No. Listening isn't speaking. Why don't you listen?
I do listen.
You've got to give Robin a chance to explain relevance, okay? It's Robin, still Robin.
Relevance is what we're talking about.
Hey,
okay, I asked a question, and there are three of us in the phone call who are out in the streets all of the time. And I will say to you that I'm out there between 1 and 3 times or 5 times per week, and I put myself in deliberately in front of and with high schools and with people that you want to reach, which is the high school students. And the reason that I'm making this comment is that far more than going through a far better approach than going through some structural component of our educational systems is a process of simply dealing with the kids. When you deal with the kids, it is amazing what they take and absorb and already know.
Don, you cannot interrupt when somebody else is before. Now, when you were speaking, nobody interrupted you, and you've got to let Robin have the floor.
I apologize. Go ahead, Robin.
Okay, thank you very much. So the bottom line of the story is I'm not in opposition to this movement, but I want to offer a perspective that I reach and deal with every single week that I am a public 9/11 for peace activist. And that is the fact that the kids are on the way. They are skeptical and distrustful of the organizations above them. And you are addressing a subject of trying to correct the organizations above them that, as we all know, are reluctant to do so. They are reluctant to deal with their own country and their involvement with it. But the kids are open to it because they are seeing what's going on, and they're seeing what's going on from a different vantage point. What I'm saying to you is that your vision and your point of view of trying to get the establishment, per se, an old 60s term, to deal with what we are talking about is valid. Okay. In doing so, my only point in this comment and why I got on the stack was to say, don't minimize direct access to the youth.
No, well, I'd like
period.
To answer that, Rob. That's exactly what I said. I accept what you say and agree with it. And what I said was that in the high school module, they're going to have interviews. The students are going to interview the 9/11 survivors. And I said, hopefully, what I failed to say was that we on the committee, we on this proposed committee, if it passes, would take up exactly what you want to do, and we would speak directly to students in the classroom. So I'm 100% behind what you're saying. Okay?
All right. So anybody else want to speak to the proposal? The proposal is to form a committee to investigate whether or not these programs, this education program exists in other states, and then to act accordingly. All right. Hearing no other, nobody else wanting to speak to it, we'll go ahead and try to take a voice vote and see how that goes. All in favor of forming the committee, say aye.
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 All opposed? Say nay. Okay, well, it sounds like the motion carries. Who would like to be on this committee?
I'd like to be on it, and I think Tom, and I'd like to have Robin on it, definitely.
Well, we'll just take volunteers here. Not nominations.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. I'd like to get a list of, in fact, whoever the secretary is, if he gets all the names and the email addresses and the phone.
Well, we're gonna see right now who would like to volunteer to be on this committee so that we can make sure that we have somebody, people that can be on it, okay?
Tom,
I'd like
I have three.
I'd like a volunteer chairman, too. Other than myself, okay. I'd like to have someone else chair it.
Well, okay. You can deal with that when we get there.
Is there
who besides Don would like to be on this committee?
Tom.
Okay. Don and Tom. Okay.
And Don asked Robin. Robin, would you be willing to be on the committee?
Only if whatever is being proposed is written down in some formal organizational point of view so that I can evaluate it. I'm having amazing access at the tactics that I am dealing with right now, and I really don't want to be diverted from that unless it's
no. I know we'll talk to each other before anything is finalized. We can talk to each other, and if you want, at the beginning, I can be interim a chairman just to get this thing started, since I've got the information here, and then we can vote on who wants to be chairman or who wants to do what.
All right, Don, you
know, I got a dog in this fight.
You have Tom and potentially Robin.
Right.
Okay.
So,
do you have do you have contact information for these two people, Don, since you're going to volunteer?
No, well, I want to know, will Robin be at least on the thing in the beginning to evaluate it so that we have three people to start with?
Robin said he'd evaluate it after as it developed and join if he approved.
Right, but he
we only have Don and Tom.
I'm only going to send the information out to the people that want to know about what we're doing, and then they can decide if they want to stay or quit. But I'd like to find out. I'd like to get people that are going to be willing to see exactly what this is. I can copy what I've read and send it out, and also. But I'd like to get a few people other than you and myself, Tom. I'd like to know that Robin's there, and I thought there was somebody else also that voted for this.
Yeah, Robin says he's not ready to commit yet, okay? That's what I understood from him. So he's willing to consider it.
Why don't we do it this way as a suggestion then? I will write up what this is all about that you put it in the minutes, and you can say we voted for it, and then anybody that wants to join can join based upon the minutes. How's that?
Okay. Put it together as a formal
proposal that was passed, and then we can see if you can recruit some members in the meantime. Okay?
We can recruit it. Once you send the minutes out, we can recruit from everybody that's there.
Yeah, plus you'll be on the listserv, and you can advertise it there too, okay?
Okay.
All right. So that handles that one. The next issue is Ben Collins about revisiting our 9/11 blogger issue. Just to refresh everybody's memory, our group took a position that 9/11 blogger was basically being censorious in its treatment of the CIT people and their evidence. And we asked that they, revise their policy and actually come up with a clearer policy on how they handle those kinds of questions. And we had a little debate, I believe, with somebody from 9/11 Blogger and somebody from CIT, or I think it was with Sheila, if I'm not mistaken. But in any case, that's the history of it. So, Ben, do you want to bring us up to date?
Well, I don't know. I'm in the dark about what happened after that.
Oh, well, not much. I mean, basically, we came up with a formal statement that we put out in our minutes, and that was kind of the end of it for the time.
Did we get any response from them?
No.
Because I notice I'm still not allowed to blog over there.
Well, join the club.
An ever-growing club of 9/11 truthers.
Yeah. Ben, would you like, is there anything in particular that you wanted to talk about this issue, currently?
Well, I still think it's a damn shame that probably the most viewed 9/11 site is practicing this type of censorship. And the fact that they don't even respond to our complaints, I don't know what we can do about it, but I don't like it.
Robin and then Karen. Go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, I agree with everybody's concern about 9/11 Blogger, but I will point out that I don't know where it came from, but Kevin Ryan just really confronted the majority of the participants on Blogger who are presenting themselves in their own minds as being objective, but indeed are not, and have a very clear agenda. And he just simply entrapped them and just absolutely set the bait, and they all jumped on the hook and whatever it might be, and it was really quite a brilliant effort on his part. So I think that one way or another, all of our concerns reached individually, completely individually, by our own, and looking at Blogger being the same, and that is it is compromised, is at least being dealt with in some fashions. So my advice would be to continue our voicing our concerns. I have been eliminated for 2 years now, and just keep on plugging with it. There are some forces that are exposing these infiltrators, in my view, and that's going to be okay. It's part of the process. If we have the White House in the United States of America committing finances, funds, energy, intellect, and a department to infiltrate us through Cass Sunstein et al., okay, I just don't think we should get very upset at the fact that we see this in wherever we go. This is why I'm going to cycle this right back to high school kids, because they see right through all of us adults. They see it. They see right through all of that bullcrap, okay? And they just deal with the facts, and and when we just simply put out evidence for them and the youth and other people to contemplate, we're in great, great spaces. This is where I will always come from, But the gray hairs are the problem, the youth is the solution, and all we have to do is be honest with them, and all we have to do is accept the fact that we are infiltrated. Okay, I've said this before in this teleconference, I'll say it again. If the high perpetrators, the high perps, the people who put this whole plan together, okay, as we see it, were doing their diligent job, where they schemed it all out, they would have two elements in their planning that were beyond the specific facts and events and physical events. One of them would be to control corporate media, which we all know is like a given. The other thing would be that they would be put people into positions beforehand to be involved in the into the anti-movements or into the organizations fighting them. Okay, so they're not dumb. Everybody thinks, you know, they're not dumb. They know they had infiltrators in the origins of the first groups, and I'm not identifying any person because it doesn't care, doesn't matter. Truth, facts penetrate all of that stuff. Every organization I have looked at has been infiltrated. Everyone. It doesn't matter. So this 9/11 blogger thing, it's a shame that, you know, it does what it does, but it has been caught. It's outed. Just continue forward dealing with your facts, your truths, and your questions. That's all I got to say, man. We're doing great. We're doing so great. And the reason that we're doing great is because the 9/11 Truth Movement stood up the demanding truth about whatever, and then 10 years later, we have all these other little groups out there saying, I really want the truth. You know, well, you know, they can't deal with the fact that it is us who did this, and that now it's okay for them to ask for the truth about, you know, hormones or genetically modified vegetation or whatever it might be. You know, they now are empowered to ask the truth about what they're concerned with because we have been asking about the truth about the big deal. So
Robin,
they're not ready, you know, so that's good.
Yeah,
so we're doing good.
Do you think you could forward the information, a citation about the Kevin Ryan thing so others can look at it?
It's on Blogger somewhere.
A blogger? It's on Blogger, huh?
Yeah, go on Blogger. Ryan cooked them.
Wow.
No, he cooked them. Snow crash and dead crash. I mean, he cooked them.
Cool.
Tom
Tweed in Arkansas, I would like, Robin, I think you're exactly right, and the way I phrase it in a, you know, a pearl or a nutshell is they had the 9/11 Truth Movement on the shelf on 9/10. They took it down off the shelf on 9/11, and among a whole truckload of red herring they spilled out to all of us, there's some real fish.
10-4, Tom.
This is Ken. I put myself on the stack, and I want to make this comment about the original comment that was made by Ben. He said, and I agree, this is the common conception, that 9/11 Blogger is the most or one of the most visited 9/11 Truth sites, and yet it's doing this kind of stuff. How can it be that after all this time, and all of this controversy, and the fact that almost everybody I know in the Truth Movement on our level has been censored at 9/11 Blogger, that it's still the most visited site. How does that equate? There's something that doesn't connect right there. You would think at some point, that people would grasp that this is not a site that really has credibility because too many people have been barred from free speech there. So, you know, it brings back the question that we keep bringing up from time to time, which is that we do need a site, whether, again, if we're the ones that end up sponsoring it or somebody else does and we support it, where there is free speech and there isn't censorship. But, I know I'm beating a dead horse there. So that's all I have to say. Who else would like to speak to this question?
I'd like to say that
I know that the all these 9/11 groups, including architects and engineers, does have plants through FBI, CIA, or what have you. So this should not be a surprise to anyone.
I agree.
Okay. All right, well, thanks, Ben, for bringing that to our attention again and keeping us mindful of that. It's a mission that's not going to go away anytime soon, I don't think. Okay, Steve Martin, how, the Coen movie, can you bring us up to date, anything on that?
Well, I've had Howard on our radio show, and by the way, just you mentioned that our network is always open to 911 Truth activists and researchers and whatnot, so we do have constant guests on our show. Had most of the people you've been talking about tonight on at one time or another. We had Howard on the show about a month ago, and I've since had some email, you know, back and forth with him, and I just wondered if anybody else knows anything about him or his groups or whether, I mean, I'm so hopeful that we do finally get a major motion picture that actually hits the theaters, but I'm not, you know, I don't know, I'm not clear about exactly what his credentials are. Does anybody else know anything about it?
Robin on the stack.
Craig on the stack.
Hey, Robin, Craig, go ahead. Robert.
Okay, here's the reality. You're dealing with Manhattan and Los Angeles. Los Angeles' job is to protect Manhattan. Any product that comes out of Los Angeles is going to be censored, and it's only going to tell a story that defends Israel. This is why this project has come to an absolute screeching halt. Okay, that's not the way to go. It's not the way that's going to work, period.
What evidence do you have that it's coming to an absolute screeching halt since Howard Cohen's a Jew?
I didn't say any of that. What I said is the product out of Los Angeles and the enthusiasm that was generated early on and all of the stuff that people were saying, oh, this is going to happen at NASDAQ, this, that, and the other thing. Okay, all this enthusiasm is very predictable. This demise and the elimination and the now existing invisibility of this project, okay, was predicted from the beginning. You're not getting it. This is gatekeeping. The way that gatekeeping works is that you announce a big project, you get everybody enthusiastic, and everybody contributes to it, and then all of a sudden, okay, it disappears. It's the same thing with a guy named Richard Green who was on Air America Radio, who ran Thursday nights, and you know, said, oh, Thursday nights, 9/11, whatever it might be. You know, we'll have a month of Thursday nights, and then it's over. The objective would be that in 1 month from now, we can stop talking about 9/11. In the meantime, all of 9/11 truthers are saying, oh, we have 3 weeks to prove our point. No, this is a 1-3 decade operation. The bottom line of the story is simple. What happened on Manhattan was dirty. Los Angeles, who is connected to Manhattan, okay, is going to use their video cinematic prowess to explain in their version what happened or make sure that the truth doesn't get out. Simple. This is simple. This is repeated. It is completely simple. This movie, this project will never take hold.
All right. Thank you. Craig, you were next.
Yeah, I suspect that's true. I just published an article where I interviewed Howard Cohen. Actually, I did about 3 different interviews with him. So I got quite a bit of information, and it's interesting that I posted my the article on my blog last week, and directly after that, Mr. Cohen told me in an email that he no longer would be speaking to third parties, was the way he described it, and that the reason being that he didn't want to be misquoted. So I wrote him back and said, well, are you saying that I misquoted you? And he answered that, no, it has nothing to do with you. So I thought that was kind of curious, that he was very open and very available and willing to talk, and he's shown so many different people copies of the scripts, the various scripts that he's written. And it's sort of surprising that all of a sudden he's now not talking. I know for a fact he's raised virtually none of the money. So, you know, we're talking about, he even has the whole cast sort of picked out, but he doesn't even know when it's going to shoot because he doesn't have any money to shoot it. So it's pretty hard to confirm cast people when you don't even know when the film's going to be shot. I mean, the thing that's concerned me about the film, and I've talked about it before, is that it seems to be steadily moving away from some of the more, what I would call, stronger evidence, particularly relating to the Pentagon, and more towards safer stuff. That his concern is he doesn't want the mainstream media to have any opening to pick apart anything. So he wants only the absolute safest stuff in there, which I think is a terrible kind of mistake and a wasted opportunity, because I think basically the David Ray Griffin approach, what he's always done in his books, which is to attack every aspect of the official story that can be attacked. I think that's the approach that I would support, whereas Griffin himself now seems to kind of want to go for this consensus approach. And he's also involved in the film. And although I also communicated with him this week, and I don't think he's very up on what's going on with the film, because he wrote me saying that, or I think, no, he didn't write it to me, but it was forwarded to me, a message from David saying that he was surprised that I had mentioned the Pentagon, because the film was not supposed to be about the Pentagon at all, only about the towers. But that's not at all what Howard Cohen had said to me. So I checked with David, and I think basically what he said was, you know, well, that's what I'd heard way at the beginning. So he seems to be kind of out of touch a little bit on what's been happening with the film. But anyway, that's where things stand right now, and I don't know why he's not talking. But I know Howard. I know he's in magazine publishing, I think, is his background. He's never written a script before. He's not part of the film business. And I know he worked with Joe Wilson, the ambassador. Was he an ambassador, Joe Wilson?
Yeah, Valerie Flame's husband.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I know he's an associate of his in the past. So anyway, that's what I got, I guess.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment before you?
I just want a clarification. Is that Cohen, Cohen?
Yes.
Cohen. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
While we're talking about films, Donald Sterling again. I failed to mention, I was in contact with Mike Marino, who's out of California, and he has put together what he calls a text video of Building 7, and he's going to be making multiple copies of this. I will be presenting these to he's going to give me 20 copies, and he asked if I would mention it at tonight's meeting, so I'm letting you know about it, I will be using it in this in the work that I'll be doing, working with the students with this new committee. And it's going to be one of the tools that's used. And also what he's looking to do is to have this presented small government meetings which are videotaped. There are many governments, municipal governments, which are small, less than 10,000, where they have a videotape for purposes of cable transmission of what's going on with their meetings. Their meetings are open. And what I'm going to do is present this at a local town in my area where they do videotape the meeting. And this will be during the public comment portion of the meeting of the mayor and council. I will present this to them, and I'll say this is a text video of Building 7 that I'm giving to the mayor to be used.
Sorry, John, can you clarify that word? I still don't understand it. You're saying text, T-E-X-T, text video?
T-E-X-T, right. Yeah, it's a
topic?
White folder that has text, just a very short few paragraphs that summarize what happened on Building 7, plus a 15-minute video of Building 7. With Ed Asner commenting on it, and that's going to be made available. I'll be getting 20 copies from Mike in about 2 weeks.
Could you put his contact information on the listserv?
Sure.
Then we could contact him.
Thank you. Appreciate that too, and thank you, Steve, for bringing that item to our attention. I know we've had many discussions about Cohen's film and in many people's opinion, the waywardness of it lately. But I think we need to move on to our last item, and we've still got some time here. That would be Don Stahl's 9/11 paper. He wanted to give us an announcement and elaborate a little bit about his philosophical journal publication. Go ahead, Don. Don? Hello?
He must have left.
Hello?
Hello. I'm still here.
Yeah.
Is this Don Stahl?
No. Tom in Arkansas. I've heard a lot of people signing off.
For Tom. Yeah, they're waiting for Don to say something.
I think he probably left the call at some point.
Right, I think so.
Okay, who's still here?
James.
Tom Sherlian is here.
Mm-hmm. Craig.
Tom.
Maybe Laney's still here.
Okay, great. Well, there's somebody. He either checked in or checked out.
Yeah, this is Ken. Ken, I don't know. I got bounced, so now there's Ken Freeland back on. Sorry. Let's see. Don, can you start over again, please? I'd like to hear what you were saying.
Don seems to have left the call, Ken.
Oh, Don's off the call. That's too bad. Oh, boy. Well, maybe we can get into... give us that information, we can circulate it in the minutes, because I think a lot of people would be interested in at least finding more out about that.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to read and to promote any way we could. Maybe ask people in the business, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, et cetera, to search for that article.
Yeah, I've got his contact info, so I'll get with him directly and see if I can get him to send us some information about that.
Ken, what was that item? I didn't get a note of that originally.
Okay, that was Don Stahl. He said he had made an announcement earlier that he was going to elaborate on that. He has published in a in the philosophical journal Ethos a paper entitled 9/11. I'm sorry, Epistemology of September 11th. Which
right.
is a 9/11 truth-oriented piece. So that's a kind of a breakthrough in the field of philosophy. I'm sure many people would like to get a hold of that for reference, and I'll get with Don to see if he can give us a citation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, that brings us to the end of our time. We're already over an hour and a half, so we'll have to call it.
Announcement.
Oh, yes. More announcements. Who else has an announcement?
Robin.
Robin, go ahead.
Yeah, Craig, this is for you and everybody. I have been dealing with the Occupy movement for quite some time now, and instead of using the moniker that I have, which is 9/11 Truth of World Peace and Justice, I am actually switching who I am to Occupy Peace through 9/11.
Would you like to?
I didn't hear that. What is it?
Robin, are you still here? I think we lost Robin.
Yeah, I bet it was Occupy Peace through 9/11 Truth would be my guess.
I think that would be my guess too, yeah.
Okay, this is Tom in Arkansas. Before I sign off, I'd like to just say one thing, and that is back in 2005 in the Jim Walters presentation, Confronting the Evidence, actually it was 2004, but I saw it in 2005. They talked about it was Stephen Jones talked about, it was the next year, Stephen Jones talked about dragging a magnet through the dust any dust sample from 9/11 from the Ground Zero area, and you'd pick up tiny little pellets or spheres or spherules, if you will, of elemental iron. That is absolute proof of controlled demolition as part of what happened, because there was no elemental iron in there, unless there was some wrought iron somewhere in the buildings. But in the dust, all tiny, the round sphere, tiny microspheres of iron can only be formed by liquid iron falling through the atmosphere and cooling as it falls. So those spheres are absolute proof, without nanothermite, without anything beyond that, of controlled demolition. Any dust sample from 9/11 that has tiny spheres of elemental iron in it is absolute proof of controlled demolition of those buildings.
Good point. Okay, does anybody else have an announcement? I think we're losing our technical
No announcement, but can I take a personal moment with Tom from Arkansas? Robin here?
Yeah, Robin.
Go ahead, Robin.
Tom, I think we met down in Santa Cruz. I'm not really sure, but here's the real skinny. I am at a port town in Kingston, Washington that handles 2 million people per year that goes through the gates. I am out there every single Sunday. I've reached out to Richard Gage, and I have asked for about 10,000 copies of his little 15-minute DVD thing deal, you know, whatever it might be for architects and engineers, and he has not seen fit to do it. I will generate to him probably 10 times more people, okay, to become subscribers. I walk the ferry docks. I'm in there. It's an amazing opportunity to simply.
Robin, I hear you, and that's what I do. Is I've passed out over 250,000 DVDs. I have explosive evidence, which I think is his best one. I got it back when it was in the production phase.
Can you help me out? Okay, Tom.
Yeah, I can help you out. All
okay,
I need
man.
Is a mailing address.
My email is my email address. I can give it to you. It's 27388 Woodside Road Northeast, Kingston, Washington 98.
Wait, is that Kingston? KINGS.
TON.
Okay.
Washington, WA, 98346. I would have made Gage $100,000 already if he had
you and I will make him that $100,000. And
great.
I'll send you
Tom,
a box of DVDs and I'll send you some other stuff that I think is equally important. You can filter through it, and
thank you.
The box is in the mail, Robin.
Tom,
Robin,
thanks.
What is your phone number, Robin?
My cell phone number that I filter and I don't answer right away is 603-289-4240. Just leave a message, identify yourself, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, so in closing, Don and Tom both want to be on the listserv. Anybody else on the call that's not on the listserv that would like to be on there? This is your last chance for tonight.
What was the area, what was the area code for Robin, 201?
Actually, no, it's my cell phone is from New Hampshire. The area code is 603.
603, okay.
Right, and then 289-4240.
Okay,
and that address
is... We're going to need to close this down because I'm running out of time, and also we're losing our technical quality. So thank you all for cooperation tonight. It's been a good meeting, and we'll see you all the next last Wednesday of April, okay?
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Good job, gang.
Yeah. All right.
Really nice.